so much to talk about. Claudette Hoaiti. Claudette is in the Parliamentary Press Gallery, and it was great to be able to talk to her tonight, possibly about the budget, but everything else that's happening. Always so much to talk about. Kia ora, Claudette. Nice to have you with us on Radio Wātea today.
Kēnā koe, Merepeka. Wonderful to be here. Can I just say congratulations to you, to my diploma, to kind of the Māori whānau ora. I'm saying congratulations because of all the hard mahi that you do and the advocacy that you do for our whānau, and it was recognised in the budget announcement last week, whānau ora, and the additional pūtea that you got, $168.1 million over 4 years. Is that going to be enough?
No, it won't be enough, but I mean, because we're always coming from a low base to start with, as you know, funding base to start with, but we're certainly getting up. But when you compare it to what the main Pākehā organisations get, and of course the government departments get, to continue to produce results that are pretty dismal, actually, no great outcomes there, you know, we do feel quite frustrated about it. But however, we appreciate the fact that we have been given significantly more dollars in this budget, albeit that that's over a four-year period as well.
Absolutely. Look, I think one of the things that I try to remind people is that there is this budget, and yes, it's something like between 0.2 and 0.4% of the overall budget. And the targeted Māori spend is between 0.2 and 0.4% of the whole budget. And, in terms of trying to meet equity, it's a start, and we mustn't stop with just this. I know that Minister Jackson, when he announced the budget last week, and then he had his budget breakfast in Pōnekea, he had a budget lunch meeting today in Tāmaki at the Marae. He says this is the announcement at the budget last week or today, in the budget, but there will be more money to come. And I think we have to remember that as well, that although we wait for the budget because that's the big announcement, there is an incremental payment that are being made by the ministers over the years that they are in term. I mean, as an example, 2 weeks ago there was an extension pūtea put in to increase the pay scales for kōhanga and kura teachers. And then we see that in last week's budget, $225 million, again for mātauranga Māori. Yes, a lot of that is going into infrastructure, buildings. But, I've never, ever, ever heard or seen any money being spent on whare, on the actual structure of the schools, of the kura, for kōhanga and kura. And we know that many of the kōhanga reo started in people's garages and in relocatable. So $225 million, that'll go into buildings and infrastructure, but also too on building capability and capacity, more kai ako, more kai āwhina.
Yeah. No, you're right, and so that's one good area as well. And there were other good things from the budget in terms of the getting rid of the $5 prescription charge, the co-payment there. You know, people say, what difference is that going to make? I can tell you, Claudette, that's going to make a major difference, particularly to those families that have young children where they do have, coming into winter, we know the respiratory problems that many of them had, and just other medications that they need. And the prescription fee can be very prohibitive for some families.
Absolutely. The National Party had said that they were going to scrap that $5 charge, and then they backtracked for clarity to say that they were going to means test it. So the $5 would then apply only to those that low income earners, gold card community, those more wealthy, gold card, and other type of benefits. Gold card, there was another type of another
community category. Card. Was it the community card?
where you did, and you did not need to pay that $5 because you were already eligible for a rebate of that $5. But you know, there are some whānau that don't actually look into that they might actually be eligible for a subsidy on this, and you know, they just don't go and pick up their prescriptions. The other thing that I noticed in the budget was the $19 million, and I think you mentioned it before I came on, the $19 million for the cyclone response, cyclone clean-up. Now, there was also $1 billion that was announced by Prime Minister Chris Hipkins 2 weeks ago for the response, most of that going to Te Matauā Māui and around Kahungunu and into Tairāwhiti. It's really interesting because last week I caught up with Annette Wehe at the budget breakfast with Minister Jackson. She said that the pressure on the whānau is just extraordinary, and those that are helping out with the response with the cleanup. She said that they had dug deep to remove all the silt, but what they found underneath Gabriel's silt was plastic polythene ground cover that was placed on top of the silt that had been left, or that was a result of Cyclone Bola.
She said that,
yes. So she said that Cyclone Bola, the cleanup was nowhere near as extensive, and she thought that maybe it was because there was no money, that the local councils had no knowledge around the cleanup. And I know that while individuals in Hapu and Iwi cleaned up, they weren't leading that cleanup following post-Bola.
Yeah.
But Iwi are leading the cleanup now, so they're really making sure that the cleanup is good and proper. She said that as a result of finding the polyurethane on the on top of the silt, that there was a lot of dampness being retained, that there was many of the whānau around Te Karaka, as an example, kiddies with respiratory issues, and it was because of the paruparu, or some of it because of the paruparu from Bola not being cleaned up, then the plastic going down on top of them, and that actually created the issues that generate or that contribute to respiratory issues.
That's alarming.
Absolutely. So that's what they've got to contend with. And then, of course, Baden Barber, he is saying that there is over 100 whānau that are still dislocated, that aren't able to go back into their whare. They're staying on marae, they're in transitional housing, they're in motels, and they're couch surfing at private whare. He says that for those that are unable to go back into the whare, because the whenua, not only is the whare impacted, so too is the whenua. He said now is the big discussion around managed evacuations.
Yeah.
So that conversation hasn't been had with the government yet, because that's going to be very challenging indeed. What do they do? Do they buy the properties of those of that whenua, the ones where they cannot return? Do they do a land swap? What do they do?
Yeah, that's it. And just all I can say is thank goodness that the iwi are now more involved in that, as opposed to last time with Cyclone Bola and the recovery there, because it appears that, well, I was just talking to Willie Te Aho, and he said that, I can tell you, what if our iwi weren't involved now? Thank goodness they are, because they know what's not happening. I mean, they certainly know what's not being delivered. I mean, when you see, Claudette, that there's been an underspend, I can't understand that. People are crying out for support and assistance. Oh, it just it must be soul destroying. And we're coming into winter where it's getting cold.
Yeah, look, the other issue, of course, is, and Baden Barber brought it up as well too, it is the speed of the speed delivery of services and pūtea to the affected areas. That has been caught up in bureaucracy over the months. As an example, you know, we are still something like $25 million still being held up with Red Cross. That hasn't, you know, been filtered out to the whānau. A lot of bureaucracy involved in that. There is some discussion that they're not quite sure which parts of the community to roll that out to, that they're still investigating whether or not those that have been identified as, you know, recipients of the funding, they're double-checking them. I mean, you know, just there is a lot of bureaucratic nonsense that's holding up the delivery of services and the pūtea.
Yeah, it just seems to me that it's a continuation of what we've already had in the, past. You can't trust Māori, you know, to be able to say what it is that they need, and we just don't want to get the support and the funding out to them. And I think that's absolutely shocking. And I can tell you there are people that are going to be raising merry hell about this, because we're coming into winter, and some of those families that they haven't got any, that, you know, that the housing is a big issue. And having just been spoken to Willie, you know, they're going full bore, but they're certainly noting the lack of support that's coming from organisations that should be there to support them. And I hope that this is all being documented, and as I'm sure it will be, because this is the whānau don't need the extra stress, do they? They do not need the extra stress.
And again, going back to Te Tai Rāwhiti in Te Karaka as an example, Toitū Tai Rāwhiti brought in John Kirwan to speak to the whānau in Te Karaka around mental wellness, you know, well-being. He has, you know, mental health issues and has been living with mental health issues for a number of years now. And she said that he helped, you know, whānau identify some of the coping mechanisms, where to get resources, information. So, you know, that is now a huge, huge issue for whānau in affected areas, is their mental well-being, their hinengaro. Also too, Aone Wehi did say that some whānau want to go back to work, but childcare is an issue. So, you know, that it might be applicable to those in the more rural areas. I'm not sure, but the 23 hours, the extension of 23 hours to under two-year-olds by the government, that pūtea has come out now, and it said that's going to help some families and some in parts of Te Tai Rāwhiti. So that's really good. You also talked about Hekia Parata and the report that her and her rōpū did around the sleeping.
Yeah.
Now, that came out very comprehensive, made recommendations, but it also very clearly laid the blame at the feet of forestry and local councils. Mm. I was disappointed that immediately that report came out that Gisborne District Council pushed back on the report and said it was unfair. I think now is not a time to push back on a report like that, because people lost their lives and people have lost everything.
Yeah, you're so right. And you know what the council should have just said, look, we need to go through it. You know, because this is a significant, we need to go through it. It's a significant issue. And there's definitely things that we know we could have done better. So let's take the time to go through it, talk to some other people about it, and just see what we need to improve on. But you know, the lessons to be learned. Absolutely.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. Lessons to be had. Now, one of the disappointments, I think, around the budget if you know, and there are disappointments, because as we saw in 2017, the Labor Party had campaigned on reducing child poverty, increasing pūtea for those low income, no income earners, and I say low income, no income earners, because we do have a significant number of our rangatahi who are unemployed. Many of them live in the provincial or rural areas, as well as the cities, but they are no income. They're not on benefits, and they're not working. So, we have quite a number of them. So low income, no income earners, there was supposed to have been dedicated policies that would address this to make life easier. And as we see with the increase in cost of living over the years, become extraordinary, everybody is having to tighten the belts. And now that the middle classes, the working middle class category are now becoming the working poor, that's when we've seen the government kick in. Now, so what is disappointing that could have impacted positively on whānau immediately, I think, and from listening to other commentators, is GST off kai. So apparently that could be done quite early, but Minister Robertson, the Minister of Finance, said that it was complicated. It was too complicated to do. So not 100% sure what's going on there, but GST off kai, I think that's a no-brainer. Also, too, tax on ghost houses. There's a whare right across the road from me currently here in Thorndon in Wellington. It looks like it's around $3 million. I've been here since December last year. It's vacant. So I'm not sure whether it was a developer, whether they bought it and they're just waiting for it, waiting to cash in on capital gains. But in Auckland, there's 40,000 houses, ghost houses in Auckland. That are like the ones across the road. Of course, they're not going to be all $3 million houses. But where's the tax on those houses? Where's tax on ghost houses? Where's the tax on capital gains tax on those whare that have been brought as investment? Not the family homes, investment properties. And this government and National, both of them, not willing to take the chances on those kinds of taxes. And I think that's disappointing.
Well, it is disappointing, actually, because you're quite right. That's where, if they had a look at that, their tax reform in some areas, maybe not all areas, and maybe not all at once, but, you know, capital gains tax, yes, and as you say, the vacant homes, all of that sort of stuff. And, you know, it can't be that damn difficult to remove the GST of food, or fruit and vegetables. I'd like to have fruit and vegetables, dairy products, and meat. You know, all the basics that people need, because look, in Australia they do it. So if Australia can do it with all their millions of people, why can't we do it in New Zealand? I mean, it can't be that complicated. But I do think, Claudette, if the willingness isn't there, then of course they're not going to do it. That's the problem.
And we're heading down to the elections now, so this is when we're going to start to see a little, you know, the opposition come out with their alternative policies, their alternative budgets, and we're also going to see a lot more heated debate. I think we're going to see, you know, I hope we do not see the, you know, gutter, you know, dog whistling narrative that we've had in the last couple of weeks from National, things like the Māori Party. You know, National believes in one vote, one person, one vote, you know, that kind of dog whistling stuff. I really hope that we're not going to get that as we head down into the election in October, but I won't hold my breath.
Yeah, no. Oh, right. Well, oh, goodness gracious, no. It's just not, doesn't look good. You know, we want to make sure that people get the assistance they need as soon as possible, because people are doing it tough. They really are doing it tough. Look, Claudia, thank you very much. It's been great talking with you this evening.
Yes, wonderful to talk to you too, Mary Becker.
Kia ora. Wonderful. Thanks.